Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask you to give wisdom today, give discernment. Bless us, draw us unto yourself. Bless your people who are holy to escape the things that are coming. And thank you, Lord, for separating the wheat from the tares. Thank you for your great work that you're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, you're sanctifying your church, and we praise you for it. Amen. Well, okay. I'm going to go ahead with part three of Man-Child Judges and Preserves. And it's a good one. We're going to start out with what we called Restoration Through Reformation. And this was given to Missy Pollock, 9/6/20. She said, I dreamed that I was talking to someone about what time it was. And I looked at my watch, and it was confused because it was upside down. Well, what I think this means, it appears that something about this time is not perceived correctly by Christians. At this time, many Christians believe there is only peace and blessings coming, but we have been assured that judgment is coming to the church, and only then to the deep state. Because obviously he's going to use the deep state to judge the apostate church. Okay. I do not believe that the peace agreement that we saw on 9/15/20, that is yesterday, is a covenant with many, but it could be laying a foundation for many more countries to join. As an example, Bahrain joined at the last minute. And so we'll just watch and see here. Anyway, when the final agreement is made for 1 week, which will include dividing Israel's land, the tribulation will begin. And he, that is the principality of the Roman Empire, will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. That's of years. And according to many revelations, the United States will be divided by earthquake for their part in this. This division, obviously you can see that it is spiritual, but it could also be physical, like an earthquake that splits the country. Okay, so when it does come, it's going to be like that. Now, I'm going to look briefly at Daniel 9:26-27, because almost nobody understands what this is about. The Lord gave me this revelation by word of knowledge years ago, and I've never heard it from anyone else, but anybody that looks at it that has any common spiritual sense knows it's right. Daniel 9:26-27. And after the 62 weeks shall the anointed one, that is Jesus, be cut off, and he was, and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come, now is where people make the big mistake. Daniel's text following this includes princes of other empires who are principalities and not men. Michael, who was a principality in God's empire, is there. The principality of Persia, the principality of Greece, and the one who makes the covenant is the principality of Rome. They're all mentioned in this text through chapter 10, too. Okay? So we know that the prince here has nothing to do with some guy called the Antichrist. Although this prince is Antichrist, there's no doubt about that. So let me read this again, okay? The people of the prince that shall come, okay, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That happened in 70 AD. and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Even unto the end shall be war, desolations are determined. Well, notice very carefully that the principality of Rome that came and destroyed the city in 70 AD, and then the same principality will make the covenant about 2,000 years later. So he here is not a man. Listen. And he, that's the same principality he was just talking about. And he, that's the principality of Rome that destroyed the city, will make the covenant in our day, okay? And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and upon the wing of abominations shall come one that maketh desolate. Well, notice that shall come is not in the original. It's italicized. It's not in the original. And it's because it's upon the wing of abominations, one that maketh desolate. One what? One abomination that maketh desolate. And what is that one abomination that makes desolate? It's the mark of the beast. The people who take it are reprobated. They are desolate. They were the temple of God, but now they are desolate, meaning God has departed from them. So shall come one that maketh desolate, and even unto a full end, and that determined, yes, it is determined, because there's a seven-year tribulation, and then there's a great and terrible day of the Lord, which is also, just like the 7 days, one day, which is a year of the wrath of God upon the desolate, okay? And even unto a full end, that is, in that determined, shall wrath be poured out upon the desolate. So, this will be in this text here. You can look at it. Very true. You can also go to our book, Hidden Manna for the End Times, on our site, ubm1.org. And you can read it there very clearly, spelled out very clearly. And I don't think anybody that is not, taken over by the traditions of men, they'll be able to see it. They'll be able to see it plainly and from Scripture. So anyway, I'm just giving you this little piece here so you can go and look that up if you like. But it's not, everybody's going to say, Trump's the Antichrist. He's making the covenant. No, he's not the Antichrist. And he's not going to be the one that makes the covenant. Who is pulling all these lost people together? The beast. What is the purpose for pulling all these lost people together? To make war against the saints. We know that. What beast is that? It's the Roman Empire, the revived Roman Empire that some people say is never going to come. They're wrong. It's on the way. It's here now. And both. So let's continue with this. It's pretty interesting. I'll back up just a little bit. I looked at my watch, and I was confused because it was upside down. The question was, what time is it? Okay. So I took my watch off and turned it around, and both hands were on the 3. Well, that makes 3:15. A time, 3:15. After turning the thing right side up, it read 3:15. This is obviously a revelation that most Christianity doesn't have. All their timing is off. It's off, okay, 3:15. So this is a revelation of the actual time because she turned the clock back right side up. Most people are upside down on their thinking. So I wonder if 3:15 could represent March the 15th, 2021. I don't know, but it represents a few other things that seem to tie into this too. March the 15th is the Ides of March. And Missy looked it up and got this link to this Wikipedia. And it's interesting, you know. She underlined things that stood out to her. And here it is. The word Ides derives from a Latin word meaning divide. Oh, okay. We know that's what's coming. A division, right? A great division is here. The biggest we've seen in this country. And it's not over. It's coming worse, okay? It's that time, right? The Ides were originally meant to mark the full moons, but because of calendar months and lunar months were different lengths, they quickly got out of step. It was marked by several religious observances and was notable for the Romans as a deadline for settling debts. Oh my goodness. You know what they're doing right now? They are now beginning to cancel debts. Mm-hmm. Settling debts. The nations, between the nations mostly, but also in the country. Some college costs are being canceled and other things are being canceled that are just starting on a very long road of doing this. Okay. In 44 BCE, it became notorious as the date of the assassination of Julius Caesar, which made the Ides of March a turning point in Roman history. Here we are again, back to the Romans. The Roman situation. Aren't we looking for a Roman principality here to come and make the covenant? Yes, we are. It's not physical Rome, it's spiritual Rome, but it's still the same principality ruling over both, right? Of course, first thing people think about is the death of the leader of a revival of the Roman Empire today would be a turning point now also. But perhaps the prayers of the saints have overturned this time. You know, the watch was turned right side up. This Trump leader is turning the world right side up. You say, well, David, he's just a worldly... Yes, I know. I know. It doesn't bother me a bit. You know, the Lord uses all vessels of honor, dishonor. Trump is a very conservative guy. He would not be able to do this job as a full-blown disciple of Christ, and I suspect he won't become one until his job is finished here. And he's doing things that God wants done, and he's the man for the job. So he is turning the world right side up and bringing down the deep state criminals and Satanists that were ruling and doing a wonderful job. But that's by the hand of God. And the mark of the beast will identify the members of the beast's body. See, some people say, oh, he's bringing the mark of the beast. Well, yes, he is preparing a foundation for it in the new money order, but you can't stop the mark of the beast. It's not coming from men. It's coming from God. God's got a people that are mixed in and taken captive to the nations that they belong to. He's calling his people out of the nations. How does he do that? He has to separate the wheat from the tares. He prophesied this was coming. He never prophesied he was going to stop it. The Lord prophesied the mark of the beast. It's the mark of the beast. What does it do? It identifies the members of the beast's body, including those who are in Christian churches. That's right. This is God's plan. It's not the devil's plan. Revelation is God's plan. In this way, the tares will be separated from the wheat, which are the members of Christ's body, who shine forth in the kingdom of their Father, right? As Jesus said, yes. And this separation is necessary. And even the harvest is necessary. Cutting them loose from the earth is necessary when they've come to maturity and they've borne fruit. cutting them loose. This is all part of God's plan. It's not the devil. Stop trying to stop it. You can't stop it. It is written. Okay, she went on to point out the Romans did not number each day of the month from the first to the last day. Instead, they counted back from three fixed points of the month, the knowns, the fifth or the seventh, 9 days inclusive before the Ides, the Ides, the 13th for most months, but the 15th in March, May, July, and October, and the Calends, the first of the following month. Originally, the Ides were supposed to be determined by the full moon, reflecting the lunar origin of the Roman calendar. And in the earliest calendar, the Ides of March would have been the first full moon of the new year. Here is the link to Wikipedia. So we'll put that on here, on the text here. She said, I asked, so again, all this Roman stuff, I mean, it's all fitting together here, right? We are building a Roman Empire. It's including the original Roman Empire, which was spread throughout the world, by the way. And now we're building one, bringing the nations together, right? I asked, what does the dream mean? I got by faith at random and, quote, toward all, unquote, is where my finger came down. Esther 1 and 13. And including, we're going to include 13 through 17. Then the king said to the wise men who knew the times. There it is again. You know, she puts as on my watch, right? They knew the correct times, right? What time is it? Well, let's look here. For so was the king's manner toward all. And that's where her finger was, toward all. That knew law and judgment. So the people who know law and judgment know the times. Okay. The wise men knew the time. And it was the time of the rejection of those who refused to come when called. And the choosing of the true bride in this context. And before we start that, he tells us this. And the next unto him was Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Merez, Marsena, Memucan, and the seven princes of Persia. These were the seven princes of Persia and Media, and this is, of course, the kingdom that conquered the empire, right? And the seven princes of Persia and Media who saw the king's face and sat first in the kingdom. Now, I pointed out how the whole story of Esther is the story of the kingdom of God, the choosing of the bride, Ahasuerus, as he's as better pronounced, was the king of kings, was called the king of kings. And the seven princes are the corporate man-child that dwell in heavenly places before the king's face, just as this says. Okay. And the seven princes are spiritually king's sons, aren't they? And sit first in the kingdom, like the man-child. So that's what this is, okay? The seven princes who sit first in the kingdom is the man-child ministry to the seven churches, right? Verse 15, what shall we do unto Queen Vashti? I believe it's the harlot church. They didn't come when called. And just like the harlot of Israel that didn't come when they were called. Jesus called them, he gave parables against them, and now these are true of the church. The things that have been are the things that shall be. What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to law? Because she hath done the bidding of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains. And Mamukin answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the peoples that are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen will come abroad to all women to make their husbands contemptible in their eyes. And when it shall be reported that the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Well, Vashti was called but didn't come, as the parables of Jesus, where they were invited to the feast but made excuses. They all had things that were more important than this most important thing in the whole wide world, this feasting on the body and blood of Christ, right? The bread and the wine, right? They all made excuses. So these parables were true of the Jews and now of the Christians, for history repeats. And we're called to partake of the benefits of the kingdom of God. But most of what is called the church is too busy doing their own thing. Even the leaders do not know of the benefits of the kingdom and therefore cannot lead the people to the kingdom. So she said, this verse came to mind when I read about the seven princes above, Micah 5:5. Yes, we've taught on this before. Micah 5:5, and this man shall be our peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And of course, I've already taught this for years, that the 7 shepherd princes are the Menchar company for the 7 churches, and these right here. And Jesus is in the midst of the 7, an 8th. And that's his number, by the way. 8 is Jesus' number. His gematria is 888 for the name Jesus or Jesus. These will resist the beast invasion and save the true elect chosen of God, as Mordecai the man-child and Esther the bride did. That, the whole story is there. And also, Sennacherib and this Assyrian empire was conquered by Hezekiah, who was a type of the man-child, who was caught up to the throne of God on the third day. How cool, you know? How many parallels do we throw in here until you figure this out, that it's correct, you know? And then she gives Isaiah 30. She got Isaiah 30 and 29. And we're going to include the text 27 through 33. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far. In the Jeremiah verse below that she's going to put in, it's the Lord from afar. Burning with his anger and in thick rising smoke, his lips are full of indignation and his tongue is a devouring fire. And his breath is as an overflowing stream that reacheth even unto the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of destruction. And a bridle that causes to err shall be in the jaws of the people. Yes, we can see that. We can see a bridle in these people. They're being driven by demons. They're a faction in the secular world. And they hate Christianity, and they're going to do everything they can to destroy it. And there are a bunch of communists, leftists, that, yes, on and on. You can tell they have no respect for democracy whatsoever. You shall have a song in the night when a holy feast is kept, and I believe that this is the Passover. It's our Psalm 91 Passover. You know, like he said, 1,000 at your right, 10,000 at your left won't come nigh you, right? And gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come unto the mountain of the Lord. And, of course, that's Zion, the bride. This is all about bringing the people back to their leadership, their God-given leadership, which is Zion, the bride, which also includes the man-child. David was the head over Zion, which was over the rest of the body of God's people. And then he calls that the Rock of Israel. Yes, it's the Rock of Israel. True. And the Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard and will show the lighting down of his arm with the indignation of his anger and the flame of devouring fire with a blast and a tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be dismayed. With his rod will he smite him, and every stroke of the appointed staff which the Lord shall lay upon him shall be with the sound of tabrets and harps, and in battles with the brandishing of his arm will he fight with them. So when Assyria came, they conquered apostate Israel as a type of the apostate church. But when they came against the city of Jerusalem, whom John was told, John in Revelation was told, is the bride, 185,000 of their mighty men were killed. It was their Red Sea destruction. Sennacherib himself was killed by his own people. He represented a faction that was killed by the faction. He killed by his own sons. And this was their Red Sea destruction. The enemies of God, especially the factions in the church and the state, they're really one in the dragon. There's no difference in them. They're all under Satan, are going to be taken down for the blessing of God's people. And this is also a draining of the swamp. It's happening. It's been happening. Verse 33. For Topheth, that's where they burn trash and criminals, is prepared of old. Yea, for the king it is made ready. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. He shall have a song as in the night when a holy feast is kept. Ooh, there it is again. That's our Psalm 91 Passover. Are you under the Passover of the Lamb? Have you eaten the Lamb, who is the Word of God? Have you devoured the Word of God? It will give you a Passover. And gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come unto the mountain of the Lord. How awesome. Yes. Mountain of the Lord. The peoples will then come to their true leadership, Zion, the bride city, to the Rock of Israel. Amen. And the Assyrians were conquered when they came against the bride that John was told in Revelation is the bride. Thank you, Father. She said, I asked for a word by faith at random, asking, what does the time 3:15 mean? And she got Jeremiah 51 and 50 and included the context of 50 through 53. You that have escaped the sword. Let me say, an attack at this time from the deep state against the apostate people of God. There's some that are going to escape this. And what does he say to them? Go ye and stand not still. Remember the Lord from afar and let Jerusalem come into your mind. So those who are left from this attack by the deep state, we've already talked about it. We've talked about how COVID was just the beginning. It degenerated pretty quickly after it left Wuhan, which is a good thing. And, of course, I'm sure God's prayers, the prayers of his people, had a lot to do with this. But now we also have had dreams that there's another plague coming that's far worse than this one. And I'm sure that Deep State is getting backed into a corner. They're beginning to arrest them and arrest their way right on up to the elite. And, of course, they don't want that to happen, and they don't mind killing all of us to take care of that. So they're going to do, you know, the anarchist thing against the cities, and they're already burning the West out there. And DEW weapons have been used, too, and so on and so forth. So see, there's a war going on, and most people don't even know it. There's a war going on. So let Jerusalem come into your mind. Let the bride come into your mind. Those who are left will forsake apostasy and will follow the reformer leadership of the bride, including the man-child ministry. Verse 51. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Confusion have covered our faces. Yeah, they're confused because their watch is upside down. They've been told all this rosy stuff, you know. But we've been saying all along, there's judgment coming. And yes, there is good things coming for the church. God is preparing to rebuild his kingdom. He's putting together the money to do that. He's putting together the people, the gifts, the word, so on and so forth to do this. And the enemy, of course, is doing everything they can to stop it. They're demon possessed. So we're confounded because we've heard reproach. Confusion has covered our faces. For strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Yes, that's true. But Father has been draining the swamp by these factions. It separates the wheat from the tares. And the tares are bundling together, just as God said they would at the end, at the harvest. They're bundling together. And, of course, that bundles the saints together into a more holy agreement, right? Wherefore, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will execute judgment upon her graven images. And through all her land, the wounded shall groan. Through Babylon should mount, although Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall destroyers come unto her, says the Lord. So Babylon, deep state, will first judge the apostates, and will in turn be destroyed by the right, by the hand of God. How awesome God's plan is. You know, he's not changed his ways at all. You know, he's still doing what he's done through the Bible, same sequence of events even, you know. So she said, I asked for a word by faith at random for me, and got Zechariah 10 and 6. Here is 1 through 6. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. All right, we need that, don't we? And who's coming with the latter rain? Hosea 6, 1 through 3. The Lord is coming as the latter rain. How is he coming? Are they thinking he's coming in the sky to take them all away? No, he's coming as the latter rain. Hosea 6, 1 through 3, on the morning of the third day. It's very plain there. That's how he's coming. And he's coming, by the way, with this latter rain, first in the man-child. Just like the former rain came first in Jesus, the man-child, the latter rain's going to come first in the man-child of our day. Even of the Lord that maketh lightnings, and he will give them showers of rain to every one, grass in the field. Well, after the judgment on the apostates and the deep state, revival is coming. Praise God. For the teraphim have spoken vanity, the diviners have seen a lie, and they have told false dreams, and they comfort in vain. Therefore they go their way like sheep. They are afflicted because there is no shepherd. Well, they will realize the false prophets lied to them, and that they were not true shepherds. The mainstream media, of course, is the false prophet of the secular world, right? They will be taken down too. So it doesn't matter what part of the dragon you're in, it's all coming down, right? Verse 3. Mine anger is kindled against the shepherds, and I will punish the he-goats. The he-goats, of course, are those that are leading the sheep to slaughter. And there he's likening them to the shepherds or the pastors, same word, right? For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his goodly horse in the battle. From him shall come forth the cornerstone, that's Jesus, right? And Jesus in the body of people today. From him the nail, from him the battle bow, and from him every ruler together. So God will restore the true reformer leadership who have lived the crucified life. And they shall be as mighty men treading down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. Those that have harnessed all that flesh out there, they think that they're going to win. But they're not. They're going down. And we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, right? And I will strengthen the house of Judah and will save the house of Joseph. And I will bring them back, for I have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off. Oh, praise the Lord. A revival that's going to restore them to the original position that they had. For I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. So pray, people. And this is clear that the people will return to the true Zion leadership through revival. This latter rain revival is coming. Whew. It's going to be good, too. Hallelujah. Yeah, what causes revival? Well, a lot of times it's hardship and trouble and tribulations, you know. And that's what's going to happen here. People whose watch is on upside down, you know, they're not expecting what's coming. They're going to have a sudden shock and a sudden chastening upon apostate Christianity and on the world. And this is going to bring repentance and revival. Missy said she felt that the Lord was telling her that he's going to bring her family out of apostasy and salvation to those who haven't repented and believed in the Lord God. And through the great revival and restoration that's coming, the Lord is going to do this for all of us who have been praying and believing for our loved ones. Come unto us, Lord, and as the latter rain. Amen. Yes, that's so good, Lord. We do expect great things from you. We are holding fast the confession of our hope. They will waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And we're trusting you to bring in those people, Lord, that we have. There are many people that are just ignorant. They need some education, and God's got a plan for that, too. He's been storing up in the silos for the 7 years of famine. And the Lord has likened those silos full of grain to our ministry, where we're storing up a lot of teachings and revelations to give to the people to preserve them through the time to come. You know, if you've been through a tribulation or you've been through a wilderness, you can tell other people your experience and it will help them. And you know the way through because God has shown you the way through, and that's what's going to happen. And so God is bringing people through a wilderness tribulation, much like he did Moses, who was then prepared to come back and bring the people of God through that to the mountain of God, right? So much of the church and all of the church leadership almost has never been to the mountain of God, and they don't know the way. But some have. been to the mountain of God, and they do know the way, and God has prepared them through tribulations to show the people the way there, how to make it, how to be preserved. Well, praise God. He's got the plan, and it's a good one, and it's going to work. So, Lord, we praise you for that. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you continue to help us, Lord, to get everything ready. And this next revelation is all about that. We called it the revived will need to know. That's right. The revival people are going to get a revelation, number one, that their leadership lied to them, and they're going to need to know what to do from then on. And this was given to Eve Brast on 9-8. I have O2 here, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway, I dreamed that I was next to a high stone wall. Well, we know what stone walls represent. They represent sanctification, because sanctification means separation from the world or from sin unto God. She dreamed, like probably the bride, that I was next to a high stone wall, representing sanctification, with all the disciples of Jesus. And of course, that's not Christians, that's disciples. You know, Jesus wanted to make disciples, right? Disciples, that's a learner and a follower. Some people are learners and followers of the different religious sects out there, which are just something to lead you astray from the truth. That's what they are. And so the revival, of course, is going to have everyone questioning this false leadership and why God permitted such destruction to come to it, and why God permitted the anarchists, you know, to attack it. You know, there's a brother named Dana who's giving a revelation here lately that the churches are going to be attacked. I think his interpretation is wrong. In fact, I know it's wrong. He thinks they're going to be attacked because they preach the gospel. Well, I'm saying they're going to be attacked because they don't preach the gospel. And that's the apostate church. We've been getting revelations of this for a long, long time. And now he got a good revelation. It's just been interpreted wrong. The revived will need to know, right? And with all the disciples of Jesus, and he was standing off to my right in the periphery, that is Jesus. Jesus was standing to her right. There were many wooden tables set up alongside of the wall, and I was helping the disciples to prepare packages of UBM materials that were all white. And I believe this represents the word that separates the tares from the wheat. Yes, sanctification, standing by the wall, right? And there were several packets of information and some kind of manual and a DVD that was in a white plastic case with UBM printed on the cover. And Unleavened Bread Ministries represents the end time Unleavened Bread Ministries. Okay. We all had many of these packages prepared on the tables, and Jesus was pointing and directing us as we worked, and also telling us who to give them to as the people were approaching or passing by. Well, the faction leadership are trying their best to destroy this preparation for the survivors. They lie, but that's what they're doing. And, of course, they're on the secular side, the anarchists, the Satanists, deep state leadership, so on, they're doing their best to destroy Trump and the right wing who is coming against them, destroying their underground cities and destroying their perversion and the babies, bringing the babies out of the underground cities. Some of y'all probably don't know about that, but it's happening by the hundreds of thousands that they have been taken captive to sacrifice and to do their evil deeds. Thank you, Father, for doing that. So there's a parallel going on there, very clear parallel going on there. And the captives are being set free. And so it is too in the church. The captives are being set free. And the wise, of course, understand that the slander and stuff coming from the mainstream media is imparting demons to people so that they go absolutely frantically nuts. And, of course, the same thing happened in the church. We've been dealing with that for quite a few years, especially since about 2010 in particular. And that's still happening too, obviously. But you can see from this revelation that God's planning on bringing an end to that. When he's through, you know, crucifying his people, he will then destroy those evil people that were used to do that. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your mighty calling. We thank you, Lord, that you are working in your people, that you have given them warning after warning after warning that these things are coming, that sometimes their watch is on upside down and they don't see these things. They think just peace and prosperity is coming and everything is going to be heavenly from here on out. Well, it wouldn't be heavenly if people weren't caused to repent and to turn to God. That's the reason we're here. So, Father, please get this revelation out to your people and to those who will be your people and to all those that we've prayed for, the loved ones and people that we've prayed for to come into the kingdom. Lord, we know that you're going to shake everything that can be shaken. And in doing this, many are going to come out of Egypt and to the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for doing this. Thank you for saving. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for your mighty move of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all this plan. Some people think some of this plan is from the devil, but oh my goodness. The more I look at it, the more I see your hand in every bit of it, because you are sovereign. You work all things after the counsel of your own will. No one restrains your hand, as the word says clearly. And your plan is to sanctify a people and to separate from that people those who are wicked, who are acting out Christianity but not walking it out. We ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, that you continue to do this work of separating the tares from the wheat, as you said you were going to do at this time, and bundling them together to burn them, as you say. And, Lord, we can see that clearly. We ask, Lord, that your elect who are among them and just deceived get their eyes opened and that they come out from among them and be separate as you've commanded and that they be delivered from all of this being snatched out of the fire. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for granting repentance to those who are yours out there in the world, whichever faction they are in or whichever part of the world that they're in. We ask you, Lord, that the people have been taken captive to the nations, as your word clearly shows. And meaning, of course, there are people that are in America, for instance, that they're more American than they are Christian. They're a captive. They're pledging allegiance to America, which is just a pagan country. And instead of repenting and letting you put your allegiance in them to you, your free gift from Jesus Christ, who died in order to do this. And Lord, we invite you to partake of all that we are. You said you nailed that on the cross and you gave us your life. We want you in us. We want you to take over this land as the spiritual man, take over this land that we live in and conquer it for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you are doing this. You're in the process as long as we hold fast to the good news of the gospel. You'll continue this work in us. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. It's your work, Lord. You're doing a powerful work, a mighty work, a deliverance. All of these things are working together for the good. All these things that we've spoken about today is your working together for the good of them that are called of God. And we thank you, Lord, that those that love you will take part in this. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to give revelation of these things to the broader church to help them understand that you got their watch on upside down. Thank you, Father, for giving us this revelation today. We thank you that you're going to open our eyes, you're going to deliver us from evil, and you're going to continue the good work that you have started in us, and that all of this is for the manifestation of the sons of God who are going to come forth in these days, walking in the steps of Jesus. He was the firstborn among many brethren, the Bible says. And so thank you, Father, that those who come into his image by walking by faith in him will manifest that sonship in these days. And sonship looks just like Jesus. That's why when we look in the mirror, we proclaim that that's mine. That's gift of God given to me. We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. That's mine. Who are you? You are who God made by reconciliation, Jesus. Jesus is coming in you. Reconciliation is an exchange of his life for your life. And he made that at the cross. He nailed your sins and your old life on that cross and gave you Jesus Christ. And now he lives in you. And the Bible says, with the heart we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We confess the salvation of God, who is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we confess, Lord, clearly that you are our Lord, our Savior in all things, and that we are coming into your image, not the image of the modern day Jesus, but the image of the Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No matter how much they want to change him, Lord, you are the same. The only way we can get to look at the true Jesus in the mirror is get familiar with the Word of God, because that's who he is. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for us. Thank you for delivering us from evil. Thank you for delivering us from ourselves. Thank you that we need to continue to hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And we know you're going to finish the good work you started in us. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you for reaching out to all my brethren today, Lord, and encouraging them and helping them to stand up and walk upright and not be fallen because of condemnation or judgment or failure or anything, Lord, but to just put their eyes on you and consider that you're the Savior. They are not. You've promised to do this, and you will do it. As long as we hold fast to the gospel, that's Jesus in the mirror. That's the good news, the really good news that the church has forgotten for so many, many years. And even today, they think they're preaching it. And even today, they think their guns are going to save them, but they are not. And these are carnal people who are calling out to the church to pick up their guns. These are carnal, wicked people. He that lives by the sword will die by the sword. They're going to test you in the days to come to see if you will take up your weapons to save yourself. If you save your life, you will lose your life. Jesus said so. You will lose your life. All they that take the sword shall die by the sword. So remember that, because they're going to try to get you into a battle that's not yours. Even the conservative side, which is against the left wing, the really radical sinners, okay, those two, we're not to take side in this battle physically whatsoever. We aren't called to do that. We're called to be the only people on the face of the earth who, in whom God's listening to. He listened to the bride in Book of Esther. He listened to the bride. She interceded for her people. He listened to her, and he changed things. So we're the only people that can do that. We can call upon our God, we who believe in him and trust in him and are justified by faith. We can call upon our God. He will change things, and he will bring to pass what he planned from the beginning, and he will do it through our prayers and through our faith. So hold fast, saints. Pray every day. You see things that you just wonder about every day, but you're called here to pray. You're called here to call on the King of Kings. In that case, it was Ahasuerus. He listened to Esther. Amen. So call upon the King of Kings. He will change things. Many things are very scary. Some of the dreams and revelations are very scary. Some of them won't come to pass because God's people have prayed and they're believing. Be one of those that can do this. The world can't do this. The worldly church can't do this. The people who believe in God, the God of the Bible, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he will hear. He is the King of Kings, like Ahasuerus was, and he will hear our prayers. So call upon the Lord, saints. God bless you and keep you. All right. Good night.